You're well behaved this morning, aren't you? Quite. Can you hear me now? Oh, great stuff, great stuff. Well, it's good to have you here, and I trust that throughout this service this morning, you will feel the power of the Lord working here. Tea and coffee will be served, and that will be in the community hall following our worship this morning. Because of bank holiday holidays and the band, there's no open air today, and there's no sallywag tomorrow, and there's no food bank or office open tomorrow. Why we're pairing the officer, I do not know, but he doesn't mind. On Wednesday, though, the Friends Together will meet at 1:30, and on Thursday, the now very popular coffee morning will be on from 10 in the morning till 12. There's no Feith or Explorers because it's half term. But tonight at 5 p.m., the first in the series, Army Basics, led by Captain. And I just remind you of what I said last week. It's for those of you who have recently come into the Army to find out what we are and what we believe and what we do and what we don't do. And as I suggested, that the Salvationists of many years come and find out what they should be doing. And okay, so as many as possible, please, we'd love to see you. That's at 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock tonight. Thank you very much for listening.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seems to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phoenicia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?' However, some made fun of them and said they have drunk too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'"
Good morning, everyone. this on. Welcome. It's good to see you on this Pentecost. One thing to do first, I'm going to correct the Sergeant Major. There's no friends together this week. There will be no friends together this week. Today is Pentecost. And of course, that is the day in the church when the Holy Spirit was released to empower Christians. But that also means that today is the birthday of the church. So there's part of me that wants to sing happy birthday to you all. Happy birthday to us. Today is the birthday of the church. So that has kind of inspired my thinking for today's meeting. And I want to think of us as a fellowship of people. So you'll be invited to participate at various stages through the meeting. You'll get to hear voices that you perhaps don't hear quite as often as you might otherwise, because we'll be hearing some testimonies, because that's an important part of the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit gives us power to pray. It gives us power to preach. It gives us power to make disciples of all the nations. So we're going to hear some testimonies today as well. But later on in the meeting, I'm going to give you, each of you, the opportunity to encourage us as the church. And later on in the meeting, you'll be handed a little post-it note. You'll be handed a little post-it note and a pen. So this is your time to start thinking about a message that you might want to share to encourage the church. It might be a word. It might be a thought. It might be a prayer. It might be a Bible verse. Something that you think will be able to encourage us this morning. And since it's a post-it note, and since it's sticky, I'm going to ask you when you leave to post it on the partition at the back, on the other side of the partition. Post it there. And then as you leave the building, after you've had your cup of tea or cup of coffee later, go and read those messages and be encouraged. Does that make sense? Because right now, you're looking like I'm speaking in an unknown Pentecost tongue. Yeah? So that'll be later on in the meeting. So maybe start thinking. A word, a thought, a verse, a vision. A hope, my hope for this church. This is what I would like this church to look like. A word to describe that. A verse that you think will encourage someone else. I'm giving you plenty of warning. Start thinking. What could be of encouragement to someone else? Thank you, Anne, for the reading of the word this morning and conveying something of the excitement of that first Pentecost day. I want to feel that. I want to feel that God is in our midst. That God is sending us to do what we think is impossible. God is equipping us to do what we think is impossible through the glorious gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking too much and I wasn't going to preach today, but I cannot help myself. Lovely. Let's join together in a responsive call to worship. Come, Holy Spirit, the wind of God, the breath of life. Come, Holy Spirit, advocate, our counselor. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, granter of forgiveness, giver of peace. Come, Holy Spirit, may we feel God breathing through our worship. May we receive the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen. Amen indeed. May it be so this morning. Let's join together in singing as we sing for the mighty moving of thy Spirit. I invite you, if you're able, of course, to stand as we join together in this way. Thank you very much. Please take your seats. Many of you look slightly kind of, oh, what on earth is this song about? It's a Salvation Army song written by two of our former generals, General John Larson and General John Gowans. And in the 1960s, these two were complete strangers to each other. They happened to work for the Salvation Army in the west of London. And a Salvation Army youth secretary at the time approached these two guys and says, "You're a musician, you're a poet, get together and write some musicals." And out of that, we have a really important part of the Salvation Army's repertoire of music, and we use these songs all the time, "To Be Like Jesus." How often do we sing that here? I think I might overuse it. But that's them, "To Be Like Jesus." And you'll notice that in these songs, there's always a strong emphasis. On any Salvation Army songs, there's always a strong emphasis on the work of the Holy Spirit. Because what the Salvation Army teaches, what the Salvation Army aspires for each and every one of you, the life that the Salvation Army wants you to live, is only possible through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And that's why we emphasize that kind of stuff. Goodness me, this bloke is preaching today, and he hadn't even planned to. But that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Good morning, children and young people. How's it going? I'm going to show you something, and it involves a lighter and a balloon. Are you interested? Come and join me. Come and join me. Morning, Felicity. Oh, Matthew, here he comes. So this is a perfectly normal balloon. What should I do with a perfectly normal balloon, Catherine? Blow it up. So that's what we're going to do. Here we go. I want to prove that this is a perfectly normal balloon. So it is, isn't it? Pass it back to me. Connor, lovely. Ayla, thank you very much. Hudson, yeah. Martha, thank you very much. Finally, Catherine. Ooh, passing's very good today. So it's a perfectly normal balloon. Right, what is this? What is going to happen? What is going to happen when this balloon and this lighter come into contact?
It's going to pop.
It's going to pop. Get your Here we go. Are we ready? Wow! Ooh, I felt that. I don't usually feel it, but I did. Right, okay. So the balloon is gone. There's a piece here, a piece there. Another piece here. The balloon's in a sorry state. Thank you, Matthew. Are we ever going to be able to piece this together? I don't think so. We've got a little bit of a mess now. I've got another balloon that I prepared earlier. In the Bible, very often, the Holy Spirit is described as water, as living water. So bearing in mind what just happened with the last balloon. Are we ready? Oh, Matthew, you're always ahead of me. So here we go. Look at this. Look. Because there's water inside. There's water inside. And the fire is having absolutely no effect on the balloon at all, is it? Look, the balloon's not bursting. There's a few marks in it. It's not going to burst. And isn't that amazing? So as I say, the Holy Spirit in the Bible is often called, it's often referred to as water, as living water. So just imagine that. Imagine if we believe that we can be filled with that Holy Spirit. So when bad things come our way, we don't pop. We don't pop, we don't explode. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can resist. I'm not saying that everything's going to be easy. You know, look, there's marks in here. And these marks are difficult to remove. Bad things happen. Bad things happen to us when evil comes our way, when bad things come our way. And it does leave marks, it does leave scars. But the difference is, it doesn't pop. We don't explode. We don't crack up. The Holy Spirit keeps us full and allows us to withhold whatever comes our way. Yeah? Is that all right? Does that make sense? Thank you very much, everyone. I'm not going to handle this too much because I wouldn't want any accents to happen. Drop it. I am not going to drop it, Catherine. Yet. Maybe outside. Shall we give it a go later? Okay. You go off to Sunday school, guys. Have a wonderful time. And we'll see you after. Hope that you learn lots. And we thank your leaders as well. I think I need to stop using these things because these guys know me now and they know that absolutely nothing is going to happen. Lovely. And we turn to the ministry of the band now, who bring to us a piece called Shekinah. And Shekinah is Hebrew. And very often in the Old Testament, in our English Old Testament, it's translated as glory. And it's particularly the glory of God amongst his people, the Shekinah glory of God.
Thank you.
Christian spirit of the living God fall afresh on me amidst that arrangement there. Our first testimony this morning then, and remember, I'll be inviting you to write on a little post-it note at some stage later on in the meeting. So start thinking, a word, a thought, a Bible verse, a vision, a word of encouragement, something that you feel can be of encouragement to us as a church. You'll be invited to write something later on, so start and keep the brains in gear and thinking about what you could share with us all. The first of our testifiers this morning is Julia Hancock, and we look forward to what you've got to share with us this morning.
I've woken up with a really sore throat, so bear with me. I've got a throat sweet in, but I'm a bit croaky. Paul asked me to share with you something about what God has been doing in my life. And as all good Christians do, I'm going to make 3 points. So at work, where I am the charity manager of a charity that helps people resolve their homelessness, we've had a year of challenge and transformation. We used to run something called the Ipswich Winter Night Shelter, which does what it says on the tin. But after a really tough winter in 21-22, we were, I guess, forced to recognise that what we were trying to do had become beyond our skills and experience. So the nature of sleeping rough in Ipswich, which is where we work predominantly, had really changed. There's been a huge amount of funding, and the kind of people who were sleeping rough were super complicated. And we had a tough winter with guests in our shelter who had some really challenging mental health issues. And as I talked about a couple of weeks ago, I knew that I was out of my depth, out of my comfort zone, having to rely on God. There was a day where the volunteers downstairs had talked to the member of staff downstairs, and they'd come up and said, "We're all a bit scared and worried by the behaviour of this guest, and I'm the top of the chain of command, apart from God." So I can remember going down the stairs thinking, I don't know what to do either. But I prayed for God to show me how to minister to this guy, and he did. It wasn't easy. I think by the end of that winter I was running pretty low, but God certainly became my strength. And there's a verse that I really love, which ties in with the theme of today. It's from John chapter 14, and it's verses 16 and 17, where Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God. The world cannot receive him, because it cannot see him or know him. But you know him, because he remains with you and is in you." And that's certainly been my experience at work in this last year, that God's Spirit has worked through me, filling in the gaps. And I guess going alongside with that, my second point is that I had to recognise that I needed a better work-life balance. I became quite unwell as a result of that balance being out of whack. And I've had to be really intentional about asking God to help me set that balance straight. And something I've learnt is summed up by this verse in Jeremiah chapter 6. It's verse 16. "The Lord said to his people, Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths and where the best road is. Walk in it and you will live in peace. So I've had to learn to talk to God about the choices I make outside of work and seek his wisdom, his spirit's wisdom about addressing that work-life balance. And some of you know that one of the ways in which I've addressed that is I've started swimming in the sea a lot. And that's something that I carried on doing all winter. It's hard to explain. Lots of people think I'm mad. But the act of being in cold water, I find very restorative. And I was talking to somebody about it, and I realised it's a bit like a baptism, that every day I get in the sea, the cold is a shock. So you have to focus on your breath. And in those couple of moments, all you can think about is keeping breathing and everything else goes. And I was really intentional about getting out of the sea and not doing any more work, so that I'd left the day behind me and I'd said to God, that's all with you. I'm going to have some downtime and we'll get together tomorrow. And the third point, I guess, is that in this difficult time of transformation at work, I've had some things happen that have knocked my confidence. I might come across as a really confident person, but if I do, that's God. I'm not naturally a confident person. And it's been hard. A couple of things have happened that have really shaken my confidence and made me doubt myself a lot. And I've learnt that although God wants us to rest and have peace and to get that balance right, one of the things is that it's actually Jesus who becomes our rest, not the rest itself. That sounds a bit tough maybe to get your head around, but it's Jesus, it's in Jesus and what he offers us that we find our real peace. And these verses in Psalm 16, I think, sum up how I've learnt to trust and to place my confidence in Jesus rather than in things around me or in myself. And this is written by David when he's having a wobble, which is something I often have. You, Lord, are all I have. You give me all I need. My future is in your hands. How wonderful are your gifts to me. How good they are. I praise the Lord because he guides me. And in the night, my conscience warns me. I'm always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near and nothing can shake me. And so I am thankful and glad and I feel completely secure. And that's not something I could have said if I had been asked to do this a year ago. I hadn't learnt that. The Spirit hadn't helped me address those balance issues and hadn't helped me to think about where I put my confidence. So what God's been doing in me is a lot of transformation, and I have been doing a little scripture reading every morning, which where you have a painting, a piece of art, and then you have a scripture passage and then a thought that pulls the art and the scripture together. And just after Paul asked me to do this today, the painting was Jackson Pollock, who some might say isn't a painter or an artist because he just splats. He loads a brush with paint and he flicks it and splats it across the canvas. And this was a new style of painting and it was called action painting. And these random splashes, without thinking about where they went or what colour they were, they were part of a movement of abstract expressionism. So it stood for completely devoting your art to personal expression and not thinking about what things look like or what people would think of it. But actually what Jesus has taught me through his Spirit is that his call to me is completely the opposite. He doesn't want me just to have random moments of splashing stuff around. He wants me to have a calling and to follow his purpose for me. He wants me to know what he wants me to do with my life. And then he wants my action to be in service of God's masterpiece. Thank you.
Thank you, Julia, for your honesty and for the depth of that testimony, actually. A lot of that resonated with me, so thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's a helpful reminder. We're not alone. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I'm the only one that's feeling this, or, you know, where is God? Where's my purpose? Well, no. We're all in a similar kind of boat. So thank you very much, Julia. And by the way, the people that have been chosen today, it's not been an intentional choice of mine. These are people who have approached me over basically the duration of the time that we've been here and said, oh, Paul, I've got something I would like to share. So if you similarly would like to share and encourage, come and speak to me and we'll fit it in at some point. If you feel you've got something to share, but you don't know how to put it into words, come and speak to me and we'll put it into words together. That's a space where I want to be working. I want to be working with people individually. I don't want to be sat doing admin and stuff. So any excuse will be good enough. And we listen now to the songsters, who I've no doubt will bless us this morning again. In me. I invite you to join with me in intercessory prayer now. Your response after I say, Holy Spirit, is help us. So I say, Holy Spirit, you respond with help us. Let us pray together. Loving God, we ask for the gift of your Holy Spirit to help us pray as we ought. Holy Spirit, help us. We ask for the energy and vision of your Spirit for those who are tiring in the battle against injustice and oppression, for those exhausted by the struggle with poverty and hunger. Holy Spirit, help us. We ask for the hope and comfort of your Spirit for those whose lives are overshadowed by illness or pain, for those whose lives are darkened by sorrow or bereavement. Holy Spirit, help us. We ask for the peace and joy of your Spirit for those living in the shadow of war and violence, for those eaten up by guilt and anxiety, and whose Christian life has become hard and dry. Holy Spirit, help us. We ask for the guidance and strength of your Spirit for those uncertain how to use their time, talents, and gifts, for those tempted to do what is wrong. Holy Spirit, help us. We ask for the love and courage of your Spirit for those reaching out to comfort the distressed, for those reaching out to others with the good news of Christ. Holy Spirit, help us. Loving God, we ask for the assurance of your Spirit to know your presence with us in our daily lives, in our relationships, in our work and service, in our worship, in our times of joy and pain. Holy Spirit, help us. Amen. Bill will now join us with his testimony. I think Bill, the first time Bill and I met, he asked, can I share my testimony? So it's taken this long, but here we are. And Bill, we look forward to what you have to share with us.
Good morning. I think everybody here knows me. There's maybe one or two that don't. But I feel quite privileged that to be asked, especially on this Pentecost Sunday, to give my testimony. I do just pray this morning, Lord, that you will refresh us all anew by your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord. Just be with us and refresh us all, Lord. I firstly would like to say that all my life until I reached the age of 60, God didn't enter into my life. God and myself sung from a different hymn sheet, I'm afraid to say. I was brought up in the East End of London in a non-Christian family, although it was a loving family. We got evacuated to Yorkshire for a while during the war, and then we came back to the East End of London and we moved into a terraced house with bomb sites either side of us and across the road from us. These bomb sites were our playgrounds. We had quite a lot of children in our road because one end and the other end of the street, the bombs didn't affect. So, but none of us ever went to church or anything. I didn't know any Christian people. I left school, got apprenticed, and started work as a lighterman and a waterman on the River Thames, which was a job I loved. It wasn't a job, it was a way of life. But unfortunately, this way of life, I learnt to drink. First of all, it was just a few pints here and there. And then as I got older, a little bit older, I'd met June, and my drinking started to increase. June and myself got married, and we parted a lot, and I drank a lot. Quite often when I came home from work, I was drunk. I wasn't very nice to my family. I was quite selfish. And there was just three people in my life at that time. It was me, myself, and I. I quite often came home and my dinner was in the oven, in the dustbin. And sometimes I never even got home. But then life changed and I was made redundant. Well, the company closure, really. And then I had another job, which I took in a brewery, which was probably the worst job for me. But there you are. And once again, that ended in closure during a company closure, so I was redundant. And we decided then that we would try and start a new life and move to Mersey Island. This made June very happy because she was able to get back into her church life and attend church, which she loved, but it was still not for me. I knew best. I didn't need God in my life in any shape or form. But towards the end of the 1990s, June became unwell and walked with two sticks, and I had to really take her everywhere. And they decided that at the church they would have an alpha course, which June wanted to attend. So I said that I would take her, it'd be no problems to do that. So I knew the pastor there, he was a smashing guy. So I took June to this alpha course, and the pastor came out and he said, "Bill, are you coming in?" I said, "Peter, you know me and God, we're far apart." He said, "Come in and have the meal with us." And without twisting my arm too far up my back, I went and had this meal. He said, "Stay, Bill." He said, "Just stay this once, just with us." So I stayed. And the following Wednesday, June said to me, "Are you going to take me to the..." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Are you going to stay?" I said, "I don't think so." So I dropped her off, and Peter said to me, once again, the pastor, "You going to come in, Bill?" So out of curiosity, I stayed and went in. And then I found myself every Wednesday looking eagerly forward to this meeting. And then at the last meeting, Peter asked if anybody needed prayer. And June said, "I would like prayer for my back." And Peter and the church elders prayed with June for healing. And June walked out of that church without her sticks. I didn't believe in miracles, but I certainly did on that day. And she's been without that ever since. Although she still might have a back problem occasionally, she lives a full life. I then, a week or so later, had a prayer with a pastor, and I knew that my life had changed and I was on my road to Christianity. But something was still missing, and I didn't know what it was. And then on May the 6th of 2000, 22 years ago, we got baptised together. And that was the moment that I knew God was in my life and that I'd changed. And it was a complete change, completely for me. And I'm pleased to stand here and tell you this, and I hope it might encourage someone here perhaps who might have any doubts or not feel that it's right for them. Speak to someone. Speak to our officers. You've just heard Julia talk. Speak to her. Speak to anybody, and I'm sure they'll help you. But as I stepped out of that pool after the baptism, we sang, "And Can It Be?" And that was when I knew that I was one of Christ's children. And as we're going to possibly sing that song now, I think, I would just like to read three verses because this is how I felt coming out of that baptism pool. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite in grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off and I was free. I rose and went forth and followed thee. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine, alive in him my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. And I pray that for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you very much indeed. And we give thanks to God for his work in your life. I'm lost for words. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. And indeed, we are going to sing that song, And Can It Be? And while we sing it, the offering will be taken. I'm sorry, it's a little bit clunky, but it's the best I could do today. But let us stand and sing together, and remember, you'll be asked to write a little message or something very soon, or draw a drawing or whatever. So keep that in the forefront of your mind. Let's stand and sing together, give the offering, and we'll see you shortly. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son and his death on the cross that cleanses us. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Holy Spirit, which gives us the power to live in his name. And that we can look forward one day to standing boldly before you, because we need no longer be ashamed. So in return, Lord, we bring to you our gifts. And we pray, Lord, that they would be used wisely for the running, of course, of this church, but also of the proclamation of the hope that we have in Jesus. We make this prayer in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So now is your time. Now is your moment. There should be some post-it notes around here, there, and everywhere. Some people have got them ready to be handed out. So now is your time to grab a post-it note and grab a pen. And while John kind of provides us with a cushion of the Londonderry air, let us write a word of encouragement to each other, a word of encouragement to the church, a verse, a vision, a prayer, a hope, a drawing, anything. And then later as we leave, post them on the partition at the back and enjoy them. And hopefully you will be encouraged through them. So make sure you've got a pen. Make sure you've got a post-it note. I could do with one, Paul, please. Thank you very much. And use this time to encourage each other and build each other up. Hopefully we'll build each other up and be of encouragement to each other through it. And we join together actually to sing a prayer really, and which is associated with the melody that John has already played to us. Lord of the church, we pray for our uniting. So let's end together, for our renewing first. And let's sing these words together. Thank you. there's a prayer. And there were some moments in there that I'm not going to lie, I struggled to say it. Knowing me, and I'm sorry to say, knowing you. But by God's Holy Spirit, He can do it. Living in us, transforming us, moulding us. We finish up our worship this morning with another Salvation Army song, but this is the one that's probably had the greatest impact outside of the Salvation Army, and we're going to sing it in an upbeat arrangement, which kind of came about in the 1990s. Thou Christ of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Good. Some people are listening. Thank you, Les. Thank you, Brian. Lovely. Thank you very much. Well, my mind went blank on the most obvious thing. Let's stand and sing and celebrate and make this request to God this morning. Standing if you're able, and we're going to finish together with a closing prayer. And I know, band, it's a hassle, but I'll ask you to stand with us as well as we share in this, closing prayer together. Holy Spirit, fill us up.
Give us strength.
Give us power. Holy Spirit, fill us up.
Make us one,
sisters and brothers. Holy Spirit, fill us up.
Give us strength to share your truth.
Holy Spirit, fill us up. Send us out to live for you. Amen. So be it. Amen. Remember to post your post-it notes, and God bless you all.